Number one, it was Spider-Man's horniest TV show ever.
What?
It doesn't stay, like it comes down the sides. It's not there yet. I have to regrow it for a little bit longer. I don't like it at the moment. I'm in a mood. Anyway, hello! It's all shit. And now it's raining. It's going to be fucking miserable outside. And it's windy as shit and everything. And there's annoying people. And I'm tired and slightly hungover. And I've had a whole packet of Oreos. Hello and welcome to Incomplete Geeks, a gay geek podcast where we talk about all sorts of geeky things. A lot of the time, our knowledge is excellent. But sometimes, it is a little bit...
incomplete.
That's John. I'm Nick. And... oh, bugger, what was it? Hang on, pause. Wait.
This is going to be a great
thing. No, you won't get it, but... that's John. I'm Nick. And my green goblin is craving some... Spider-Man Has Amazing Friends. Something that's all I could
How
do.
How would I not get those? Those are just...
well, I know. But
characters.
It's, this is episode...
52.
Well done. I never remember to check that.
I hope
I
that's
should
right.
check that beforehand.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Emma Frost, Fringe.
Yeah.
This.
That makes sense.
Welcome. And we are going to talk about... I think we mentioned it a couple times before, because we talked about the other characters, and we talked about cartoons. And I want to talk about...
Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Which I will probably cut in the real guy saying that rather than me, because it actually sounds good rather than me. Because that's what the music does.
Okay, cool.
Which we should watch the music.
But, I mean, yeah, fine.
We should watch the whole episode.
You know why I'm excited about this episode?
Tell me.
I have a confession.
What?
Never seen the show.
That's fine.
And I did not know that it was a show until like maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I'd have no idea why.
Yeah. Well, I think because, and we'll get into it after our Geekery of the Weekery. Because the 90s Spider-Man show was so, because it was the X-Men and the Spider-Man show from Fox Kids was very prominent.
Yeah.
I think everyone just remembers that. Was good.
Was this not a Fox Kids show?
Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends came out in like 81 or something like
right.
that. Right. It is old as fuck and camp as Christmas. Yeah, 1981. I got it right. Yes.
I'm glad you've researched it before.
I have not. It's on my phone right now. And it can be shit, so no, I understand you not having seen it. But we'll get into it all. We are going to get to that, but I think you have a brief Geekery of the Weekery.
Sega! Previously on X-Men.
Geekery of the Weekery.
Yes. Good. Very brief, because basically I, just to see what's going on in the... in the world, and we do talk a lot about Marvel. Loki season 2 has been out. The second episode has been released by the time that we are recording. So I've seen the first two episodes. You've not seen any.
I've not seen any yet. I keep not caring.
No, that's fair.
I will watch them, but no.
Yeah, no. I think it's a bit. I feel like I've got a duty to watch it. Because I did like the first season overall, but because of the recent spate of shite that's been coming out of
so bad.
Marvel Studios, I'm not excited about it. And I'm not excited about it.
If you watch the entire thing and you're like, meh, I'm not going to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you're getting 3 or 4 episodes in and you're like, it's still not interesting. Is it interesting by episode 2?
Okay, here's what I'll say about the first 2 episodes. No spoilers. Good point. Second episode is definitely better than the first.
Okay.
The first is introducing a lot. It's kind of resolving a lot that happened in the last episode of the first season.
Mm.
I don't think it does it very well. It kind of goes back on some things by explaining it in a really in a way, which it kind of makes sense because you know how we talk about we were talking about Fringe and the alternate reality.
Sure.
Like, or sorry, alternate timeline. That was what was implied at the end of season 1. And it kind of gets resolved in a way that isn't really satisfying narratively, but it makes sense because otherwise we're going to be learning about new characters. We don't want to have to go through learning these new characters again.
Yeah.
Because we already like Owen Wilson's Morbius. We already like all the Hunters that you know we've met already.
I find it so weird that his character is called Morbius.
Mobius, not Morbius.
Oh, pretty so, damn close. It is and pretty stupid. It is. I mean, I get it. It's a cute name for, like, the Mobius stuff, but there's a Mobius and there's Morbius.
Mobius and Morbius. Yeah. I mean, I never really... Doesn't bother me. Because it's the same as the Mobius strip.
Yes, dear. I get the reference. I don't know what the Mobius strip is.
Don't make me put my math hat on.
I know it's a thing, but because I saw it in Futurama, but I don't know what it is.
And it's mentioned in Endgame as well. Because Tony Stark is manipulating the PIM technology. Whatever. And I'll do it in the shape of a Mobius strip.
Yep. Anyway. So, at the moment, you're not 100% sure if you would recommend it, or already sure you would recommend it?
I'm withholding my judgment still at the moment. Okay. I think the problem that they're having with the second series is they need to create something that feels new. And so the first season of Loki was new because the TVA is completely new, and then it broke down at the end of the... Is it the wind again? Fuck. And then it all comes crashing down. But for season two, there isn't yet a big, awful thing that they're going to fight against.
The thing is, it's all well and good taking your time to world build and build these characters. Yeah. When there's 8 fucking episodes, you can't waste an episode.
Is there 8 episodes? I don't even know how many.
Probably. It usually is. And it's like, guys, you can't be spending all this time making this... You can't do a slow burn.
Yeah.
When there's 8 fucking episodes.
I mean... If you... I don't know. I can't... When you have a show... You know, I don't want to say the word Secret Invasion again. But when... For example, when you already have a world, you don't need to spend time... building it, but the TVA is very new. But now
they built that last season.
Exactly. Now that that's established, like, the next thing they have to do is either make some dramatic event happen that affects the characters in a big way, or fuck some shit up in terms of that world. Yet to be seen.
All right. Well,
and I'm not going to mention anything about. Well, I'll say Ki-Hui Kwan is great. Because why else?
Yeah.
Where else would he be? He's in it, and no other comments on the cast.
All right. Well, when you get to 4, give me a. You should be watching this.
IMDb says that there are 6 episodes.
Oh my god!
It's not a weather podcast.
Okay. Yeah. We'll see.
So
we'll
6 episodes. First season was 6 episodes. We will see. We're a third of the way through now, Renee.
Jesus Christ! All right. Anything else topical?
Yes. So I've told you I've been taking my partner through all the MCU films in order. The last one we watched
in proper order. Or are you doing
chronological order?
God, I hate when people do that.
And
for first time views, that's not the way to do it. But
I mean, it's definitely a choice. I don't think it's bad. I think it works.
As a rewatch, I think that's a fun way to do it. But as a first time watch.
The part that I'm finding really fun is knowing that he knows next to nothing about the speculation. So he's learning more about the Marvel Universe because he's got some of the comics now.
He's reading comics, but you're not?
Pretty much, yeah. He's got Marvel Unlimited and everything.
Jesus Christ. That wouldn't help with this podcast, but yeah.
No. He was very pleased with Winter Soldier.
So good.
And the next one we're going to watch, we just finished, we're following your list, by the way, on your website.
Yay!
Should we link it in the show notes for people who want to watch it in chronological order?
That's where the link is! Oh my god. Okay.
What are you talking about?
So, the outreach team at work, every time we publish an episode... They're like, oh, a new episode of Geek Through the Week, whatever our show's
whatever
called.
Whatever
our show is called. And I'm like, oh, that's so sweet, you subscribe. It's like, no, we get an alert because there's a link to the company I work for, which I think is fine to say, right?
Up to you, I suppose.
You can believe that. If it's public. It's like, well, there's a link back to it. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? When have I ever linked back to... that company.
Yeah.
It must be the list.
Yeah, okay. Well, I guess you can say it if it links. If we put a link to your list.
We linked to it because I wrote it. It's fine. I was like, I'm not ashamed of anything we say on here, but I don't really want the guys who are going to decide if I get promoted to see my geek porn. Listen to my geek porn episode, which is a great episode. And I'm really proud of the work we've done here.
That's so funny. It doesn't explain how they get an alert. How do they get an
that
alert?
Their whole job is to monitor backlinks to the site. That's their entire job, is to build links back to our site.
And so because there is a link to their site on somewhere on our...
That's the only one I can think of, because I don't know. Anyway. Interesting. Hmm. So you're following my list that I wrote for...
we can cut that out.
We can bleep it out.
If you want to link to it again, and
I'm gonna take it out of whatever.
It is very helpful. Although I will suggest something as well. The end credits of Captain Marvel should be skipped as well, because the end credits skip ahead to.
Yes, I would have said that. I'm very aware of that. Mm-hmm. Yes, because it skips to the end of fucking Infinity War.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
Oh, okay.
Which is why you don't watch it chronologically. Because it ruins it, and that's a good little teaser. Anyway,
it is a good little teaser for So next is Civil War.
Straight after it?
After Ant-Man, because you put it
Ant-Man. You didn't say Ant-Man.
Oh, did I not say?
We didn't get there. I interrupted you.
Winter Soldier. He liked Winter Soldier, which I think you would like, because that's your favorite one. And then we watched something, Ultron, and then we watched Ant-Man. Which he's like, ugh, I don't think Ant-Man... I get the feeling this is going to be like a silly entry.
And but it was also fine. That was its purpose. Ant-Man 3, just... Anyway, I can't do this again.
I'm
can't go through this again.
The fun thing for me is saying zero about what people are expecting, what the people thought about it. I'm just letting him watch it with... We might watch the trailer, but there's no sort of speculation about who's going to show up or who's in it, who's acting in it, about where the characters are going to go, what's going to happen. He's just watching it completely dry. Raw? What's the word? He's watching
blind?
Completely blind. That doesn't make sense for watching being blind. Anyway,
going in blind.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going in raw. That's a different thing.
Nope, that is definitely different. But it is fun, and I'm excited to watch Civil War next. Maybe this weekend, we shall see.
You don't have time this weekend. You're too busy doing fun social activities.
That is true.
Civil War is my favorite, because it's got Wanda in it. And it's like Winter Soldier, but with Wanda in it. So that's why it's my favorite.
So yeah, that's all I wanted to add. It was fun. Which we can cut out later if it's fine.
we might do, but also that's really helped me if that's what my fucking backlink is, because it's been driving me insane.
Ta-da!
Ta-da!
Now on to the main story.
So,
tell me about Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
And his amazing friends.
Which is not the show that I thought it was from the 90s.
No, that's just Spider-Man, the animated series. TAS.
Right.
Just like X-Men, TAS.
There was a Star Trek TAS as well.
Sure was.
I'm the complete incomplete geek here.
Yeah. I wouldn't say I'm the complete geek, but I'm pretty sure I watched every single episode, because why wouldn't you have watched it? There was nothing else to do.
Tell me a bit of background. Like, when did it start?
So, the premise of the show is Spider-Man...
has friends.
And his amazing friends.
Cool!
I believe. So, there was this show, and there was also a Spider-Man animated show that was on. Again, it's the 80s, so you'll get what you get. This obviously wasn't when it came out, but when I was watching it, because it was before I was born. Shocking, I know.
What?
But there was... I thought it came after... It came before that. Anyway, it's based... Shut up, Nick. Oh my god. Get to the point!
Gosh.
So there was a Spider-Man animated show, and then clearly someone said, let's zhuzh this up. Took pretty much the exact same episodes, in some cases, the script.
Yeah.
And redid it with two extra characters in. It's nuts.
Where?
Like the first episode is the Green Goblin one. There is an episode of Spider-Man, which I think came out a year or two before, trying against the Green Goblin, where it's just him. And then for this show, it's pretty much word for word, but they have two additional characters in it. So they were clearly like reusing a lot of things. So God knows if that was the plan originally to make this a show, and then they thought, fuck it, let's shove some X-Men in it.
Did they actually copy do that again for the 90s Spider-Man animated series?
That would have been great, right? But they didn't. So the premise is there's Spider-Man, Iceman, and Firestar.
So, as like main characters?
Yes. They're the main characters.
Okay.
Originally, I believe the rumor is it was going to be Spider-Man, Iceman and the Human Torch, which is actually a really nice, you know, Spider-Man, yeah. X-Men, Fantastic Four,
mm-hmm.
three-way. And they have the Fire and Ice counterpart.
Right.
Lovely fun. I believe at that time in the 70s or whatever, Marvel was doing some like distribution copyright things with the Human Torch. I think they had sold it off probably to another company, like the way they did with the movie rights to all the other characters later on in the 90s or 2000s. So they couldn't use the Human Torch.
Right.
They couldn't use the Human Torch in the 70s Fantastic Four show. They had Herbie the Robot instead. So it must have been an ongoing kind of thing. Which has really confused me. I was like, who the fuck is this flame guy? Where's the... Anyway.
Herbie the
Robot instead of the Human Torch in the 70s shit Fantastic Four cartoon.
Right, okay.
So obviously it hadn't been resolved. So they couldn't use the Human Torch.
Hang on. Back up for a second. They had a Fantastic Four cartoon.
Yes.
And they couldn't use Human Torch.
Yes. It was the second iteration of the Fantastic Four cartoon. So the 60s one had the Human Torch in it. The 70s one had a robot instead.
Do they have like the other three?
Yeah.
It's just not Human Torch.
And Herbie the Robot.
What?
Which was kind of like a Star Wars-y, bebop-y, floating robot. Shit. Awful. So awful. I love it.
Oh my god.
So awful.
Amazing.
So obviously that hadn't been resolved. So if they wanted to go ahead with the whole Fire and Ice counterpoint and keep Iceman in, mm-hmm. they created the character of Firestar.
And there's no other option?
I don't know. But... that was what they went with. Okay. They created the character rather than using a different character. They obviously wanted to keep the Fire and Ice thing.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned Firestar briefly in the Emma Frost episode mm-hmm. because after she was created and popular on the cartoon, they wanted to introduce her into the comics. Mm-hmm. And the way they did that is through Emma Frost, how she became a student of her,
yes.
that sort of thing.
Yes, yes, yes.
And up until recently, she was never an X-Man officially. She is now. But that was back in the 80s.
She's a mutant.
She sure is.
Okay.
In the comics, they make it clear, they differentiate her firepower from the likes of Sunfire, is that hers is microwave energy, that sort of thing, rather than like atomic flame, which is what Sunfire's power was.
Okay.
Because
heaven forbid you have duplicate mutants.
Exactly. Well, yes. And the fact that they did... I'm going to go into this. I have bullet points.
Do it.
And the fact that they did that, serendipity or whatever you would say, is what turned this from what would have been just an 80s cartoon
yeah.
into a campy kind of... not queer, but like so camp, it's gay kind
right
of series. It's, you know, if it was three guys... ironically, if it was three guys, it would never... I don't know if I would have given a shit.
Yeah.
But they had a girl who was in a leotard and a bright red wig mm-hmm. and flew and blasted people. And that just made it... that level... elevated it to a level of gay that hooked me.
Gotcha.
So, without that, if it had been the Human Torch, it's like... it would not have worked.
No.
Or it would have. Or it would have worked... better, but it wouldn't work for the gays, you're right. So
especially the gays who are children, and then you like
yeah
you're not thinking about the men, you're thinking about the no. fun leotards
exactly
characters.
We sure are. So apparently it went for 3 seasons,
yeah,
although that last one I don't think that's right.
It also says that the season 2 was only 3 episodes.
Yeah, it sure was. And you can tell it's entirely different animation, and it was just the origin of Iceman, Spider-Man, and then Firestar. 3 episodes. Really good ones. The animation is completely different. It looks like they've tried to slickify it, and then they go... they obviously didn't have the budget to do that for season 3, in which they only did like 7-8 episodes. It says 9, but that's not a proper one.
IMDb says 8.
Okay, good. I've got a 9th one here, which is like, that's not the right one. That's the reboot.
Okay.
Very 80s kind of style cartoon, and because they were across X-Men and Spider-Man,
mm-hmm.
they kind of dipped in, and originally would have been Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
They just played around with as many different IPs and characters and that sort of stuff. So we've got, the first episode is the Green Goblin. The second one is Kraven the Hunter.
Yeah.
The third one has Doctor Doom in it. And then we've got Sunfire showing up. Stephen Strange.
Oh, so Sunfire shows up.
Yeah, there's an episode. And I don't think you can watch it on Disney Plus because the racial stereotypes are so extreme of the criminal Japanese samurai uncle. I think they've had to be like, we can't keep this on here. It's fun.
Speaking of, now we're watching these Disney films, Marvel films in order. I feel like they're cutting stuff out. There's like some quip in the first Guardians of the Galaxy that is just sort of cut out. And I don't know what it is.
Maybe that because there are some that they snuck in, and if you don't know what that reference means, there's some gross stuff. But anyway, you research more of that. We're here to talk about Spider-Man and his amazing friends. So we got like guest appearances from like Stephen Strange. Magneto shows up at one point. Red Skull, Loki. They have access, because at the time, access to all of these baddies and everything like that.
Well, it makes sense they have access to a lot of all Spider-Man's villains, but like I'm just looking at some of the lists here, like Black Knight is apparently in it as well.
Yeah. The Knights and Demons one. Yep.
So why didn't they just use some... Let's wait for the siren. Criminals. Why didn't they just use Sunfire?
He's Asian. 1981 wouldn't have liked that.
Like, they thought that the audiences in 1981...
They would not have liked that. Again, I can't speak for this, but the appeal of a lead Japanese character... Hmm. Plus, he's a shit character. No, I mean, not as in, like, a bad character, as in he's a shit.
Like, not fun.
Like, his character is a piece of shit. He's so miserable and hates everyone. It's not a fun character.
Okay.
And that's not the kind of vibe... I don't know if it's the vibe they wanted, but it's not the vibe they got.
They wanted super friends who are happy and fun.
So, yeah, exactly. Some bonkers episodes. All the episodes are bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
All the episodes are bonkers. But it's fun. It's good animation. I know Spider-Man's known for his quips and his banter.
Mm-hmm.
But if you watch the 90s one, I don't think he didn't quip much. He didn't banter.
Yeah.
But I don't think Tobey Maguire quipped or bantered.
No.
At all.
In the third one, maybe.
Exactly.
A bit of sass.
But this... The dynamic between them is so sarcastic.
Yeah.
And so taking the piss out of each other constantly.
Yeah.
It's so lovely. And I suppose it also... It does go against kind of Spider-Man's... motif that he's always by himself and he's always struggling, that sort of stuff. So mm-hmm. it kind of is a counter to that. But I loved mm-hmm. it because it's fun. Like, and they're enjoying each other's company. There's no melancholy. There's no, oh God. Like, there's no real struggle. They take the piss out of each other.
Mm-hmm.
They all hang out. They have odd jobs. They're poor. And so they have an after school thing. They're in university.
They're poor.
Well, like, they're struggling uni students and, you know, that sort of thing. They share a, you know, they live in Aunt May's house and pay rent. All this kind of thing. It was very, basically... Oh God, I've got so many notes. I don't want to jump a gun on it. Let's head to the Notion board. Let's head to my notes. No, let's come to that. It was just, very different in that regard.
Do you think a lot of cartoons are missing that aspect nowadays?
It was also difficult. Like, if you watch older stuff, especially 70s stuff, a lot of stuff in the 80s, it's bad, right? Like, it's a mess.
Quality-wise bad.
It's a mess, and the writing's shit, and you're like, and the laugh at the end, and you're like, oh God, guys, this is awful, but funny. But they are just genuinely, because the voice actors, Frank Welker, again.
Who is he in this one?
Iceman.
Okay.
I don't know the name of Spider-Man. He was Bumblebee in Transformers as well, but he's so charismatic. They're all just really fun, lovely. It's just, good fun times energy.
Okay.
Which it didn't come across too try hard, you know, their jokes landed, that sort of stuff, because they were just making fun of each other. So it's great. I don't know how it would feel watching it for the first time in this time, but watching it in the 80s and 90s, it was just camp, lighthearted fun with superpowers and cool shit.
Which is perfect for kids of all.
I think so. Any questions before we talk about why it's gay?
That was going to be my next question.
Fantastic! What makes this show gay? First of all...
Iceman.
Well,
Okay.
First of all, of course it wasn't gay, because it's a cartoon, and it's in the 80s. No cartoons are ever gay, apart from Steven Universe.
Apart from what?
Steven Universe or something like that? Oh, that's so gay.
It's so gay.
So cartoons are hardly ever, ever gay, and in the 80s... early 80s, mm-hmm. like fucking no media was actually gay.
Yeah.
So no, there are no explicit gay characters or anything like that. We gotta read into it what we can and get out the campiness.
Yeah.
And interpret
it's
it like
campy
that.
Gay, not look at my boyfriend gay.
Having said that, we can interpret it in a number of different ways. That makes it on a rewatch, a re-examination. You can view it through a gay lens and you can make it really gay.
Gotcha.
These are the
I love doing this.
These are the notes I've come up with. And we'll get to them. Mm-hmm. So, number one. It was Spider-Man's horniest TV show ever.
What? How?
First of all, of course it was. That's pretty low bar. Spider-Man's a cartoon. Most of the cartoons, I think as a rule, cartoons for children... are not horny.
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad you said
right?
that. Right? Yeah. Yes, correct.
They're not.
I was waiting. I was like, how do you finish the sentence?
They're not. So this is Spider-Man's horniest TV show.
Okay. Low bar.
So it's a low bar.
But what makes it horny, though?
I'm so glad you asked, John. It's like I have notes prepared for this. Just off the
top. No one's going to believe us that I've not seen your notes.
Just off the top of my head. It feels... like a superhero version of Friends.
Okay.
The vibe of they all live together. They're all struggling young adults. They have part-time jobs. They're trying to figure out stuff. That sort of thing. Very much just Friends with superpowers. And so the focus and the vibe is always about their friendship and their lives together. But like Friends... I'm literally reading my notes. I should have just... like Friends, there's always constant... sexual tension, and an explicit will they, won't they aspect to all their friendships. The whole point of Friends, multiple will they, won't theys, all of them at some point were will they, won't theying. That's kind of what we want from a close group of funny, good-looking people. Inevitably, it'll be like, do they like each other? Are they boyfriend and girlfriend? Are they going to get together?
Yeah.
And that was not subtle in this. That was explicit...
Okay.
Not as in they weren't raw dogging each other, but it was very, very. They were.
No, my face was because it's a show about kids, and they still did that. That's
it was. Well, they were. It's a show for kids, but they were at university. They were at college, right. Empire State University. So they were college students living in a house, that sort of stuff. So they weren't. So they were teenagers, like to young adults. So it was. They're allowed to. But they were always. I want to see if I've done this. I don't want to jump... Oh, that's point number five.
Okay.
So it was always talking about the relationships.
Yeah.
Maybe I should do point number five.
Go ahead.
Four. It, or therefore, point number two, kind of had some polyamory vibes.
Really? What the three of them you mean?
Only as you look back, because obviously not.
Okay.
So when I say they were always dating, they were always dating. So... in the first episode, they go to, like, not a high school dance, because they're at uni.
Let's wait for the siren.
We're in South London. I think it's going to be...
the police station is right there.
Right. So in the very first episode, the setup is they're going to a dance together.
They're dating... when you say they're dating, they're dating each other?
Spider-Man is going with Firestar.
Okay.
And Iceman is going with this girl, Mona.
Okay.
Generic Mona, who is Green Goblin's niece, and then she gets kidnapped and they save her. But like later on in the series, Peter goes on a date with Mona. And in the Sunfire episode where Angelica falls in love with Sunfire, they're at an event, she's holding Bobby's hand on a date with him. They are constantly dating. It's like Archie comics. Like, they're always on a date. They're always going out for a date, or taking this girl out for a date, or flirting with that person, with each other, with other people, and sharing their things, new persons. It's the same fucking episode.
Yeah.
Angelica points at Firestar and is like, sorry, Sunfire, and goes, ooh, who's he? Whilst holding Bobby's hand.
Slut.
It's very, not obviously sexually active, but it feels like Archie. I used to read Archie comics. Like, they are always dating. They date each other, and that's just what you do.
Yeah.
So if you watched it now, you could kind of, if you wanted to.
Yeah. Do like a...
If
polyamory tinted glasses.
If Bobby is dating Mona, and Peter is dating Mona, and Peter's dating Angelica, and Bobby's dating Angelica, what? Who's to say Peter is not dating Bobby? They are so close. They share a room. They banter all the time. And Iceman wears pants. Pretty much that. I'm just saying.
Is he... Tell me more about these pants. Is he like...
Oh, we'll get to that.
Okay. He's not always in ice form.
No. Oh, that was my point number five. Muscle boys in their pants. So yes, Iceman, his outfit when he's iced up is pants. Like, yeah. 80s Y-front pants. Yeah.
Of course. Which is from the comics, isn't it?
Or yeah, sure. Yeah.
Sure.
Wonderful. And that's what he's in the majority of the time. And they're in the beach sometimes, and Peter's got his top off, and they're like living together and that sort of stuff. So muscly boys who are lovely and that sort of stuff. Tops come off because they're superheroes.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a big leap.
I mean, if you've got it, you flaunt it, basically, right?
And it's also, they're not, like, dicks about it. Like, Spider-Man is hot as fuck, but I don't think it was this one. I think it was another one. Well, like, he's, like, fixing his costume, and he's got his top off just sitting on the bed. Peter's just sewing his costume with his top off. Because you do. It's just, you know, function. But, bitch.
Also, you're in your own
when house. When I was a young boy watching that, I'm like, oh. So, for the gays, it's like, the girls didn't want to see that. The gays did. So we appreciate that.
Yeah.
Muscle boys in their pants.
Okay.
Yeah?
Nice. And Spider-Man and Iceman are sharing a room together?
I believe so. So they have... You don't...
Not with Firestar.
So you only see the one set of their home. Mm-hmm. It's very, like, a major central piece because... It looks kind of like a living room, and what they do is they have a statue on the mantle. When they move it to the side, the beds flip over and the couch goes back, and a supercomputer, which is like the size of a fucking wardrobe, comes out, and a lab and that sort of stuff. So it's their secret headquarters.
Gotcha.
In Aunt May's house that she didn't realize someone came in and installed all this tech.
That was really fast. What's it called? House flip or whatever.
And, you know, they have a bit where, like, Aunt May's like dusting and she moves the statue and it goes and then flips over, and Bobby's like, whoa, whoa, and then he's like, no, we'll do it. It's all like that. It's so cute. So they have that one set.
Yeah.
And because there's two beds in there, I assume it's Peter and Bobby's room.
Right.
Because there's two beds, and they're always in there. You never see anyone. There's another bedroom somewhere, I think, where they're getting ready, which is probably Angelica's room.
Okay.
Aunt May would never have her sharing a room with the boys.
Yeah.
But the two boys could share.
And they all, but all three of them live with Aunt May.
Yes.
Okay.
And a stupid dog called Ms. Lion. Because it's...
What? Like, Ms. Lion.
Ms. Lion.
Whatever.
It's a stupid, like, poofy head thing, and they write it in for comic relief. It's like, you don't need comic relief. You guys are funny.
Yeah.
You don't need it.
It's like the monkey in Friends. You don't need a monkey.
You don't need a monkey. God. It's like the monkey in anything. Any fucking True. Media where they put a fucking monkey in. Like, oh, vulnerable. Ugh.
Isn't it cute? Wearing a diaper.
What am I polyamory? The whole show was pretty horny. Everyone was always dating someone and holding hands with each other, and no one minded. No one was like, "Why is he holding Bobby's hand? Why is she holding Bobby's hand?" They never addressed it. It was like, "Yeah, it's fine.
Whatever.
I'm dating Mona this week, and next week I'll be banging you."
Yeah,
great.
Can't wait till you catch that STI.
So I'm out of order, but that's fine. Another point. It had a main character that was a girl, which is what I kind of touched on earlier on.
Yeah.
If it was Human Torch, it would have just been another Centurions, Transformers, G.I. Joe.
Oh, God, yeah.
All these things were just all men, or massively man, and that's one kind of thing. There were three main characters, one of which was a girl, who could fly and the other two couldn't, who could blast people with stuff, who looked cool, had a camp costume, they worked well together, she held her own, like, just as if not more powerful. brilliant.
So she's not relegated to, like, the female.
She's not, having just said that they're all fucking each other, she's not the girlfriend. She's not mm-hmm. Mary Jane Watson or Gwen Stacy, that stuff. She's not just the girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of the leads.
Yeah.
Which I think makes it gay. And like so many comic book characters, she was camp as fuck and therefore for the gays.
Yeah, of course.
Big red wig, which was confusing because in her non-superhero get-up, she had like dowy, mousy brown shit hair.
Really?
And when she transformed into Firestar, she had this massive flaming red hair wig thing.
Oh gosh.
I don't know how that would work because she just goes... And then she's got a red wig and a mask on and a sexy leotard outfit.
That's kind of a hand-wavy kind
of thing. It's the 80s. Don't worry about it. So that's fine.
Because if somebody was really on fire, their hair would burn.
And it's not fire. She's microwave energy, but it doesn't matter.
Cook that pasta like nobody's business.
Exactly. Boil my spaghetti. The final point, which I think is very obvious, of why this show was gay.
Iceman! Okay, great.
Obviously, 1981 was when this show came out. When was he outed? So like 30 something years before he was officially
mm-hmm.
came out as gay.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the fact that how his character is works so great. He's got 60 years of history. Like we said before,
mm-hmm.
in any kind of medium, because of how that's his character, you go back and it's so easy to see him as a closeted gay man.
Yeah, okay.
It works perfectly. He's a goofball. He's always, always flirting with girls, trying to be a big shot and show off. No one takes him seriously.
Yeah.
Like,
what a great cover.
It's so obvious. Like, if you knew, like, a gay guy who wasn't out and they're like, hey, Mona, do you want to go to the dance? It's like,
what?
Bobby, come on. Like, okay, let's go dancing. Sure, and he danced, but he never did anything else. There's an episode where an Asgard episode, I think it's the Loki, I'm guessing the Loki one, yep. where they like capture him, whatever, that sort of stuff, where he almost becomes the consort of the ice giant god Queen Zanora, obviously.
Right, okay.
Which is a perfect example of Bobby's flirtations in how he rescues and flirts with and attracts a literal ice giant god queen.
Okay.
That he's clearly not going to be dating.
Yeah.
And whilst I have no doubt that Bobby is well endowed, I don't think it's going to be big enough for Sonora, the giant
frost ice giant
god queen. Like, she's like the size of a building. Like,
you have to put his whole head up there or something.
Like, he can make an icy dildo, but she's an ice queen, so she wouldn't mind. Yes. Yeah. So it's very much like that, oh, he's in love with this completely unattainable, non-realistic romance. It's not real.
Which makes sense for him, because if he's gay, then he's just like, oh no, I'm with the ice cream.
It's like, I fell in love. I'm still thinking about the ice cream. It's like, well, you were never going to be with her. Now you come back to Earth. And
well, like, just thinking about like what it would be like.
It just wouldn't happen, that sort of stuff. Like, he had no chance.
I can't date you right now. I'm still in love with the ice queen.
It's, yeah.
Definitely use that.
It's perfect, and it's amazing how that trope just works so well and how he's brilliant. I've said before, and I will say it again, Iceman in his pants was one of my key sexual awakenings.
Ooh.
Because I would have been so young. But yeah, mm-hmm. for dramatic emphasis, when it's a fun trope in those things, when you have the fire and ice characters, that you want to depower them or trap them. So when the supervillain captures everyone apart from Spider-Man, he has to save the day. How do you depower Firestar, freezing ice blasts, and she's in block of ice. How do you depower Iceman, melt him over a volcano, that sort of thing.
Gotcha.
So they use that trope quite a lot, and it was quite fun. Especially the episode with Kraven the Hunter, mm-hmm. like he captures Iceman and he's hanging over a volcano, and he's just melting.
What? Is this a photo?
Yeah. And he's just in his pants.
Ooh!
And the dramatic way, I want to show you the other one, which is before he looks up, where is it? The dramatic way they draw him is like, oh, he's like crumpled to the ground, dramatically lying there. It's like, I'm too close to the volcano, I can't ice up. And it's it's so campy, and he's so sweet and vulnerable, but ripped, blonde in pants.
I get it.
It's a wonderful time. It's a wonderful time to be alive.
Is that from the show as well?
Well, yes. That's his outfit.
Ice form.
Exactly.
Why does he have green eyes?
Oh yeah, I never noticed that before, but yeah.
Spray me, daddy.
Yes. I never thought of that. I loved how completely impractical that was. Like, he just, I mean, which he does in the comics. Did he do it before the show? Must have. Goes around on an ice slide. Goes across New York on giant ice slides. It's like, that would drive the city nuts.
Okay, yeah.
There's tons of fucking ice everywhere. It's like his secret identity. He comes out of the window at Aunt May's house and a fucking ice slide that stays there. It's like, we can tell. Like, Aunt May. It's like, why the fuck is there an ice slide?
Wasn't there like a... Was this a big thing in the comics where his ice slide, somebody pointed out, like, that's not really practicable because... What's holding it up?
Oh, every time I watched it, I'm like... Because they love to do like a, you know, where they chat. Because they work as a team. It's so cute. And they always talk about ideas and they're traveling through New York City chatting and shit like that. Fire's dark and fly. Spidey has to be swinging. So he's ice sliding.
Mm-hmm.
Like along the top of, like, through the skyline. So there's just this like line of ice in the middle of the air. You're like... How is this not falling down?
Yeah, like a horizontal line. Even if you like prop it, if you like support it on one end.
Because in the comics, they sometimes do it like where he's doing that, but then there'll be like a column color. Down to kind of prop it up. So obviously, someone watched the show and was like, "This is very impractical."
Yeah.
But also, hey,
whatever. It's superheroes.
It's fine. It's so much fun. In a way that, yeah, and I don't think they've ever been able to kind of replicate that kind of friendship vibe in cartoons. Mm-hmm. Like, in action cartoons.
Yeah.
None of the X-Men, it's never that kind of taking the piss out of each other casual likeness. That it's always overly serious or, like, not funny, campy, over-the-top kind of thing. Which is a shame, because I would love more of that.
Well, there's always time.
I don't know. They don't do great cartoons nowadays. It's all like bloopy bloopy with big heads and stuff. Because they did like another version of Spidey and His Amazing Friends quite recently.
Okay.
Which is like Miles Morales and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's literally like a giant head Spider-Man.
You know,
kind of kiddie show. Which I understand cartoon is for kids, but you know... Good cartoons.
No, the kids who watched cartoons 20 years ago are now adults. There's a lot of adult cartoons as well.
Give us something.
And also, if you want to talk about, like, even the X-Men cartoons from the 90s, like, they were really, really serious.
Yeah.
I wonder how, I'm looking forward to how they're going to do that.
Oh, I can't wait for that one, but we're going to do that for the build-up. See, like, ugh, look at those shit characters.
Oh yeah, I've seen that before. I don't
remember. Gross. I'm like, awful.
It's like they're trying to push those bobblehead things, Funko Pops.
I mean, I love Funko Pops. I don't want to cartoon about it.
Yeah.
Shall we watch the intro music?
Sure.
Just to kind of...
Da-da-da-da-da. Oh, sorry. A Marvel Comics animation... Very 80s. Oh, there we go. That's
the bit.
That's the bit.
Look at that. Oh,
I see.
Transform.
Love it. It's like a whole episode in the intro. Dr. Doom, yeah?
There it is!
And that was the intro to every...
Yeah, what was it? Yeah, theme songs were mandatory back then. Bops.
It's the only work that musicians could get.
I mean, you know.
Hey, you know. Yay!
Any questions so far? Oh, is that it? Well, you know, it's difficult to do it one-sided. If you've never seen it, I would I'd like to do a rewatch of it. Well, a rewatch for me and a first-time viewing for you of maybe an episode or something like that.
What is your favorite episode?
I wish I could answer that, my friend. I wish I could answer that.
When was the last time you saw any of these episodes?
Probably not too long ago.
Probably yesterday.
Because of the Disney Plus stuff. When Disney Plus first came out, the first thing I watched was Spider-Woman. Which is on there, and then I think what some of these. And I'm trying to see if there's ones that I think the best ones were probably the first two. They were also the ones that they were the only ones you could get. Like, I had them on video, on VHS. Mm-hmm. And then the rest were like, you get them whenever you could grab an episode. The Giant of the Green Goblin and The Crime of All Centuries, which is the Green Goblin, and then the Kraven the Hunter ones. I think it's still the best because they do a nice setup of all of them working together. Like, in the beginning of the Green Goblin one, you have Iceman and Spider-Man stop a jewelry heist or something like that.
Yeah.
It's very 80s animation, but I love it. It's very stylized. It's good action, good kind of that movement. They work together, and they make fun of each other, and it's like, oh, you're so ugly, kind of, you know, whatever, those kind of jokes.
Yeah.
And then they're like, sorry, we stay around, but we're late for a date, and they have to rush off.
Late for a date.
To get home, because Angelica's there with Mona, and they're getting ready to go to the dance. It's so, like, it sets it up so brilliantly, like, right, this is the world, it's like, let's save crime, oh, can't be late for a date, kind of stuff. And
gotcha.
I love it. And
Did the series, because it was only three series, last season was... What, 8 episodes, whatever. Hmm. Did it end on like a? Was there a conclusion?
Or no,
was it
just they never did that. If it's accurate, it finished with. Wait. Let me double check before I say that.
I've got it open.
It saved with Save the Gun Star. That's a weird one to finish on. I feel they could have finished with Spidey Meets the Girl from Tomorrow. That is would be a really good finale. It wasn't a finale, but it was quite a dramatic episode. So yeah. Let's talk about it. Sure. The Girl from Tomorrow. I think a brother as well. It's been a long time since I've seen that. Come back in time. They meet the spider friends. They're stuck, that sort of stuff. And they need to get things in order to fix their time machine and send them back. Or whatever. Some kind of premise like that.
Okay.
So it's a fun little banter thing where the spider friends like, oh, we need this mineral, which is only found in a volcano. So Angelica's like, I'll go and get it for you. And then she swims in the Malta and then comes out. It's like, it's cold out here. That kind of shit. Love it. They get a little bit of like ivory, which is a bit dodgy. All this kind of stuff. And as they're fixing it, the girl, whatever her name is, gets really ill. Mm-hmm. And they can't figure out why. She comes from a time so far in the future when there's no disease, but that means she has no immune system.
Okay.
So she is dying because she's in the past and it's filthy and dirty and disgusting.
Yeah.
Makes total sense. So she can't stay. She has to go back. And Spider-Man's like, I'm going with her because I've fallen in love with her, of course.
Of course.
They make peace with that, even though they probably were dating each other before. It's fine. I think it says that Firestar kisses him twice in the episode and says goodbye to him by kissing him on the lips. I'm like, oh, we've never done that before.
Oh, okay.
And he goes off into the future. As he's about to get there, I don't know, the elders or her dad or something's like, you can't bring him here. He's from the past and infested with diseases. He will wipe us out.
He's disgusting.
He will kill us all. So, like, Iceman and Firestar say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, like, in the snow or something and they're, like, walking away. And then Spider-Man comes back because he's and obviously heartbroken because he can't be with the woman he loves, and they just, you know, hug each other and that sort of stuff. So it wasn't an ending, but it would have been a nice. It could have finished there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no, he didn't go off, and the Spider Friends broke up, but he's back, but he's sad.
Yeah,
and it was nice and poignant. They ended with Guardstyle, which is where they made a fake sister for Iceman, and she had light control powers, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of stuff. There is an X-Men Adventure episode.
Mm-hmm.
Where they go to the X-Mansion, because in this world, obviously, Iceman's an X-Man, and Firestar was an X-Man as well.
Yeah.
And you've got Colossus, Wolverine, Storm, Cyclops, Kitty, Thunderbird, are X-Men at the time, And then they, like, there's this cyborg kidnaps them, and then it turns out it's Firestar's ex-boyfriend. So she's like, oh, okay. I used to be in love with him. It's like, when did you have the time to be in love with him? When was this, Angelica? Like, it's so quick, and you were dating Peter, and all that sort of stuff.
Love is
just, and then, like, he dies at the end. Oh, and gosh, she kisses him and says goodbye. Ah, oh, it's so such a soap opera. It's so good.
It's like a Telemundo.
It is. It's absolutely, absolutely like a Telemundo. There's the Magneto episode as well. Sorry if I'm ranting, but I'm just going to go through these.
Yeah.
There's a Magneto episode where, like, they're working at an event in a prison. Mm-hmm. Like, on, not Alcatraz, but, like, the New York one. There's, in Marvel World.
You're
the,
right.
There's an island off New York, which is a prison.
Okay.
Usually with a
prison. I forget what it's called, though.
I think they called it the Raft is the official one, but it's just for regular... Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
Somebody will write it and tell
they're
us.
Working, they're working... Yeah, someone will tell us. That'd be great. They're working at an event in a prison to make some money because to buy Aunt May a birthday present. Because that's what they do.
Okay.
Because they need some money.
I know. That's, forget the local grocery shop. We'll just...
We'll work in a prison.
Prison.
And then this performer comes on and does all this stuff, and then it turns out it's Magneto, Master of Magneto. It's so, so camp. I love it. And he puts, like, a magnetic dome over it and that sort of thing, and they can't escape, and they have to try and figure out how to do it, and they kind of split up. And there's this part where, so, like, I think Firestar's, like, trying to fly under it. I don't fucking remember. It's a good episode. I'll rewatch it later.
Okay.
But Iceman and Spider-Man are going to, like, put on a radiation-proof suit or something that they have in the hospital to see if it means that he can get through the... whatever. And they're talking about Angelica. And it's like, you have feelings for her. It's like, why don't you tell her? And he's like, if I do, and she says no, no more spider friends. Like, we would have to break up the gang.
Yeah.
Because if he confessed how he felt about Firestar, yeah, and she turned him down, it's like, well, then we're broken up. And Iceman's like, well, I care about her too, but, you know, fire and ice, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's very Ross and Rachel kind of stuff. It's very that right. sort of thing. Nothing happens at the end of it. They're like, she's talking about how she's going on a date with a guy, and they're like, are you going out with this guy? She's like, what about this guy? This guy? She's like, ooh, so many new boys so to go out boys. With. Who should I go? It's so horny like that.
Why don't you see the man in front of you?
It's right here. It's so dramatic.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great.
It sounds like a show that's like, let's take these... Okay, let's take... Obviously, Spider-Man is, like, the popular character at the time. Let's just take two other random things to be his friend. Just make shit up.
Make shit up.
And if they can incorporate all these other characters, they've got a lot of Marvel properties to choose from. I mean, that just sounds like they had an idea that was a bit out there, and they just went with it. Which is always the things that work. Was they have an idea, and they go for it.
Just go for it, and yeah. It was so 80s, but so done. Yeah, it was so much fun. I thoroughly encourage, please watch it. It's great.
Well, considering it's only like 26 episodes, whatever it was.
We should definitely do a little reaction or something like that. It'd be fun to...
24.
To watch it. I will say, because I can't remember this far back, because obviously this came out in 1981, I was born in 82.
Mm-hmm.
So God knows when I first watched it. And again, I lived on a desert island.
Mm-hmm. You watch what you got.
You watch what you got. I'm pretty sure the first episode was... The first one was the Green Goblin one.
Yeah.
In it, just to confuse you all, sorry if I'm droning on, they go to... Well, here's this fuck-ups. The dance that they're going to,
mm-hmm,
it is a comic book character-themed dance.
What?
So they're going... They go dressed up as comic book characters... So, and it really confused me because Angelica in that first scene is dressed up as Spider-Woman.
Oh.
And I had obviously seen Spider-Woman because that came out like 4 or 5 years before that. Again, doesn't matter because it was before I was born. So I must have seen Spider-Woman first
because
when I saw it, like she sat there with her mousy brown hair and the not quite fitting right because it's a costume. Yeah. I'm like, Spider-Woman looks shit because it's a Spider-Man show and Spider-Woman's in it. I was like, she looks shit. This is awful.
That's so trippy.
Iceman goes as Captain America because it's his favorite.
okay.
Mona goes as Medusa from the Inhumans.
Right, yeah.
And Spider-Man goes as Spider-Man.
Were the Inhumans around back in the
80s? Yeah.
That was, Wait, Spider-Man goes as who?
Spider-Man.
Oh,
She's like, okay, that's so- a cop. He puts like a shittier mask on, but he just has his outfit on. It's like, that is a cop
like,
out.
That's like me at most Halloween.
Like, that is a cop out. But later on in the episode, when like he goes off and gets kidnapped and stuff, that sort of thing, Firestar's looking for him, and then she goes, Spider-Woman's great, but it's time for me to be Firestar, and then turns into a costume. I'm like, ooh, that's a good outfit. You look good in that one, because rather than a half-baked Spider-Woman.
Yes, yes.
But then they have people dressed as, like, if you watch it now, because I hadn't read comics, there's Phoenix, there's Vision and the Scarlet Witch are dancing, there's Shanna the She, but all these characters who, like, people dressed up as them, so it's stupid, but also really fun. But it was before I read comics, so that is the first time I'd ever seen X-Men or comic books as Iceman, Firestar, and whoever these people were dressed up as.
That's fun.
It's so cute. I'm so I love it so much.
I think I'll have to. I'll think I'll add it to my list after I watch Voyager, obviously, and then all the X-Men 90s. So I'm going to finish those, and then I'm watching. And then I have to watch the rest of the Daredevil, Luke Cage series as well.
No, I wouldn't bother. I wouldn't bother with those. But I really recommend it. If you've already watched it, dear listener, if you've already watched it, I cannot recommend highly enough, when you're drunk as fuck and come in, put on an episode of Spider-Man as Amazing Friends. That is so much fun. Because you like, it's like, you just, you know when you need something on to like, when you make your food before you go to bed because you're too drunk to go to bed, put one of these on because you'll be like, I remember that, stupid. It's so much, that's the best way to watch these shows is half cut.
Should I be drunk and watch it for the first time? No.
Maybe I think you need to watch one, and then if you want to watch the rest, watch them drunk.
Fine. I'll do the way I have.
Especially later on towards the end. Like, they have a Dracula episode. All sorts of weird shit. And you're like, this is nuts. You should be a little bit tipsy for that kind of stuff. Okay. It's fun.
Okay. Fair.
I think that's it.
Cool. That's great.
Sounds pretty gay.
That's a good episode.
I enjoy it thoroughly.
It sounds so sad about it.
I know. I don't know how to kind of put across why it's so fun. And it's annoying because if you didn't watch it in the 80s, if you watch it now, it's so, so dated, obviously.
I'm from the 80s.
It's hard to watch it with that joy, which is obviously a lot of the problem with 80s cartoons. But the banter between them, the way the characters are, it's quite unique in that respect. So
people who are young nowadays and are watching these cartoons, they could take a lesson from these 80s cartoons in terms of like the banter and the relationships.
I think they could. I wish they would do that with a lot of 80s cartoons. It's so it's so stylized, and how modern cartoons are so anti that. You know,
they're all drawn by computers nowadays.
Well, they looked a certain way because of necessity, wasn't it? You know, they did them on cells.
Yeah.
They had, like, we can't draw them again. Just use the same thing over and over again. And we have four bits of music and sound effects that we've also used on She-Ra. It was budgeting, but it also makes it feel really familiar. So when that music changes from this to that, you're like, oh shit, this is Spider-Man's music. Off we go. Or you change from this to this one. You're like, oh, this is serious.
Yeah.
Like with He-Man, like with Thundercats, it was that kind of, out of necessity, we had to do just these bits and bits rather than cartoons, which a lot of them do nowadays. Okay. Anyway, that's
good.
That's me with 80s. So, if you watched Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, and if you can somehow articulate why you loved this show, or how to translate it, or how we could, I don't know what you'd like to see, like a reboot or a reimagining or something. I don't know anything.
What was your favorite episode?
Oh my god, please tell me what your favorite episode was. Whether it's because it was genuinely good, which is not likely, or because it was so camp and stupid that you fucking love it. I think there's one with robot duplicates of them as well. Stupid. So 80s. I love it.
I thought you were going to say, like, please tell us your favorite episode and why was it The Girl from Tomorrow? I don't know whichever one you're going to say.
It was a good episode. If you have comments, please write to me, incompletegeekspodcast@gmail.com. I mean, Don will read it too, but he won't get it.
We'll read it. We will.
He won't really
We'll share it.
He won't really understand that. Or if you want to do like a video about your favorite episode or why you love this, if you do that on the TikTok, please tag us. I would lose my mind. Incomplete Geeks We're on TikTok and Instagram. At Incomplete Geeks.
And while you're at it, give us a like. Give us a 5-star rating. We need more of those.
Please.
On Spotify or Apple Podcasts, whatever, however you listen to this.
Give us a follow. Cause
and
then,
follow us, yeah.
Then when we do one of these stupid-ass episodes, you'll get a notification. You're like, that's stupid. I'll listen to that.
That's stupid. That I can listen to that on my car ride to work.
Yeah. Where else would you get this kind of entertainment? Not from Jimmy Fallon.
No.
He doesn't know about Firestar, why she was there. I apologize if I got anything wrong. I have probably watched these recently, but as I said, I was probably drunk when I rewatched them, because I think that's the best way. I am really sorry if I got anything wrong. I'm sorry that John didn't know anything about this.
Yeah, true.
But you know what? We're not complete geeks.
But we are working on it.
Thanks for listening.
Bye. At least I'm not congested at the bottom.
But you look great.
I look great. I'm so glad
we didn't do a video episode. We're not going to do a video episode this week.